Now let us discuss the aspect of fulfilling the needs of retail buyers. If your target customers are the end user of your products and services, then demographic and lifestyle factors are essential to understanding them. However, not all businesses sell directly to ultimate users of the products. If you sell to other businesses who turn around and resell your products and services, your buyers are predominantly channel buyers. So you need to understand which kind of buyers are you servicing or are you selling to. So in the last slide, we had discussed about the channel buyers. So in this particular slide, let us look at the channel buyers and the different nature that they come under. So channel buyers come in different flavors. Flavors is nothing but the varieties. So they can be subdivided into the following major market categories. Business to business, that is businesses which actually buy products and sell them to different businesses. Government and consumer, so businesses which sell to the governments and businesses that sell to the consumers. So the channel buyers themselves buy products and they might sell them to either a business, either to government or the agencies of the government, and to the consumer markets, that is to the end users who might be individual customers. Now let us take a look at the people or the channel buyers who sell to the business to business or government. So business to business and government buyers are subject to many different influences than buyers of consumer goods. Generally, B2B and government purchasers have the following characteristics. As we know, these particular buyers, they buy in bulk. They buy only when there is a specific need, so they are fewer in number. They have larger business transactions, so their requirements are for large scale purposes. They are for a public basis, not on an individual or a private basis. The concentration is of a regional nature. So people who actually, you know, require, for example, let us say a particular government agency requires a huge amount of stationery for its brochure printing process. So it might not buy, you know, two or three reams of paper, but it might buy entire 100 or 500 reams of paper required for this process. There is a defined sales and broker relationship, and it is dependent upon end user buying patterns and demands. So they are not the end users. The end users are some other people who might be the consumers. So their demands greatly influence the purchases of the business to business or the government buyers. Business buyers take many factors into account when contemplating buying decisions. Contemplating buying decisions is nothing but when they think of buying. Some of them being macroeconomic trends nationally and internationally. So if there's a trend of a huge proportion, so then that becomes a basis for the buying. Long-term material supply trends and inventory needs. So if there is going to be a shortage in the near future of a particular product, then that product might be hoarded by one of these departments. Delivery rates, timing and reliability. So many of the government agencies or the large businesses, they work on a precision system, so they want the exact delivery rates, the timing and reliability. Plant capacities, because inventory matters a lot. Nowadays, all the manufacturing units, they look at inventory in a very, you can say, focused manner. They want to understand whether the bought inventory is actually necessary. The supplier's financial resources, Government buyers are subject to numerous government contracting rules and regulations. So many of them have their own tender systems, many of them have specification systems, many of them have various layers of people who are responsible for procurement and purchasing. The next type of buyers, apart from the business to business and government buyers, are the consumer good buyers. Consumer goods buyers are subject to different influences when compared to business to business and government buyers. The major factors affecting this channel are: there may be many buyers at multiple levels in the same company. The type of transactions may vary from small to large. National, regional, and local buyer concentration. So the concentration varies between the different, you can say, areas or sizes of a particular country. And direct company sales to buyers or broker relationships. So there are not many layers which are present between the seller and the buyer in this case. It's mostly individuals who buy for their own consumption. The major factors that affect this particular channel are directly dependent upon end user buying patterns. So if a consumer prefers buying a particular brand of tea or coffee, they might go on buying this particular brand. End users influenced by company advertising and promotional spending. So if let us say a particular brand of tea, Tetley's tea, is offering three different flavors, is advertising that it can keep people strong from within, it can purify the bodies internally through green tea, it contains a lot of flavonoids and it contains a lot of free of toxins. If it can help you do that, then probably the people will get influenced. An elastic market, meaning that the demand for goods and services is easily affected by slight changes in price. For example, a particular brand of detergent, if it decides to increase the price by, let us say, 4 rupees, and another brand which is equally sought after keeps the price the same, probably you will have more people switching to the other brand which has not made an increment in the price. Now we shall look at essentials of economic factors to intermediate buyers. Intermediate buyers are those buyers who actually are between the manufacturers, who are the sellers of the goods, and the people who eventually consume those particular products. So intermediate buyers, if they are involved prior to products reaching the end user, influences other than customer demographics and lifestyle factors are likely to be more important. So if there were no intermediate buyers, then customer demographics and lifestyle factors would have been the most important ones. But in case of intermediate buyers, there are some more important factors which include the profitability of the item. For example, let us say a shopkeeper who is a dealer for Samsung and Sony handphones. In this case, he is an intermediate buyer, because he will eventually sell, or she will eventually sell, to the end users who will actually buy the handsets and use them. So let us say in the Samsung series, if there is one particular series which is not too profitable, then probably that particular dealer will not keep many phones of that particular, you can say, type. So profitability of items is of, a vital importance. So is the advertising and promotional support programs. So for example, let us say if a new Sony handphone is into the market which has advanced features which are being advertised on the TV, which are being promoted through road shows or huge banners or pamphlets provided to dealers. In that case, then the dealer will be more than willing to stock such products. Slotting fee allowances, availability of free samples, personal buyer or seller relationships, and sales incentive programs. So if the particular intermediate buyer gets some fees for keeping slots or places for this particular item or product, if they get some sales incentives for selling more of such products, then definitely they will recommend these products more to the end users rather than any other products. From a lot of research conducted in the recent years and months, we have distilled 5 key elements for strategies for retail information systems, which are as follows: founded on clear ownership and accountability, contains just enough governance, delivers the right information to the right people, drives both logical and technical consistency, and delivers substantially over time. So for a system to be robust, it needs to have these 5 important, you can see, characteristics, attributes or elements. All retailers have some kind of approach to the way they manage information. For some, it will be a formal affair, for others, less so. You're talking for all intents and purposes about a particular strategy. It may be referred to as a framework, a set of best practices, a steering group, or something else. So strategy might be known by several names, but a strategy is extremely vital and important to survive the competition for every retail outlet that exists. One of the most important strategies in this context is that of clear ownership and responsibility. Ownership and accountability are effective generic traits, especially when there is a project to kick off. In most domains, clear ownership and effective management tend to go hand in hand. Furthermore, a simple, straightforward approach makes things easier to manage. Achieving this simplicity in your organization may only require some streamlining, such as changing a reporting structure so that it leads into a single person. So, systems which are based on clear ownership and complete or clear accountability are systems which can actually work well in today's business scenario. To actually make this a reality, it is necessary for the person with whom the buck stops to have appropriate gravitas across the business. What this means is that the person who is accountable for a particular decision should actually take it. Upwards for senior leadership buy-in and downwards for workforce advocacy, the general support and enthusiasm vital to help people to embrace change. So the ownership patterns should be clear. The decisions should flow in a particular direction. So if it's a buy-in which is required, then the decision flow or the direction is upwards. That is, one manager needs to get permission from his senior, the senior needs to get permission from another senior, and so on. If it is policy or procedure that needs to be drilled down, then it's from the top management, it would go to the lower management people. The strategy owner will need to use their diplomatic and communication skills to establish these features and push things forward. The next strategy is right information to the right people. Traditionally, KPIs or key performance indicators have been used to track financial performance and generally concern analysis of periodic data. Often though, the underlying causes of problems are not readily visible and require additional work to understand the event or change is responsible. The reason being, today's retail outlets are huge in terms of the kind of transactions that happen, the logistics, the procurements and so on. So many times underlying causes of problems are not immediately visible. If the problem relates to an underperforming product line, the supplier or loss of customers, then clearly periodic reviews of the underlying data may be adequate. Indeed, today while monitoring and managing a business at the level of overall financial performance is important, there is much to be gained from an emphasis on tracking more granular performance indicators at a customer and product level. So it's extremely important to become granular, to become more focused, to become more targeted towards where the information will be need to be monitored and managed. The next strategy is to drive both logical and technical consistency. The desire to deliver and manipulate information leads us to think about usage scenarios. However, all the physical infrastructure in the world is not going to help the business much if it delivers inconsistent, compromised or out of date information. This area has been a bugbear, or it has been a flaw in the industry for many years. Master data management being the poster child on the product related side of this. So there are some areas which have been flaw areas, some solutions which have been popular or successful solutions. The next strategy being delivering of sustainability over time. The way businesses and solutions are evolving to meet the challenges of the modern retail environment means moving away from the silos of information and fragmented technology solutions. So as we've spoken many times before, there is a need for integrated data and information solutions which actually work as a cohesive unit. So there is a need to move away from separate units or silos of informations and fragmented technological solutions. So today, if the units function in a cohesive manner, they can provide a better picture of what are the demands of the consumers, what are the trends in the market, and what are the needs and desires from the particular retail outlets. The risk of falling back into the traditional way of addressing problems as they occur in an ad hoc manner is high if there are no checks and balances to drive things in a consistent manner. So this is extremely important. It's not just that you have a system which is advanced in all ways, but if it is not used properly, if all the features are not used correct in a correct manner, then you are simply using a new system but a traditional method of doing things. Hence, process and policy to drive this consistency backed with the aforementioned accountability is an important prerequisite so that issues are dealt with in a manner that builds information management capabilities in the same direction over time. So it's extremely important that you build in the capabilities into the system, you do it in a precise manner, in a time-bound manner, in a phased or a stage-wise manner. Mm-hmm. It's done consistently to deliver the required sustainability over time. Now let us discuss the applications and advantages of using MIS in retail business. Modern businesses have been leveraging management information systems to manage, order, organize, and manipulate the gigabytes and masses of information generated for various purposes. MIS helps retail businesses optimize business processes, address information needs of employees and various stakeholders, and take informed strategic decisions about the same. So the business heads and the stakeholders know what's the bigger picture, they understand what are the requirements of the system, and they base their decisions on these particular pertinent information pieces. However, budget allocation and monitoring issues can affect the efficacy of MIS. So what this means is probably the MIS systems that need to be installed may be constrained or limited by these financial constraints at times. So the installation of MIS in the various retail outlets of retailers have their own advantages and disadvantages depending on organizational deployment and usage. The management information systems have changed the dynamics of running businesses in an efficient manner. Decentralization is one of the biggest advantages. This allows monitoring of operations at low levels and frees up resources for departmental managers to devote time to strategic activities. Coordination of specialized projects and activities is much better, and decision makers in the organization are aware of issues and problems in all departments. Another advantage of MIS is that it minimizes information overload, which can be quite common with conventional businesses in the modern era. Management information systems have several applications in the retail industry. MIS is the systematic use of technology and people to manage the flow of information. In retail, management information systems are specifically used in certain areas which are enlisted here: point of sale data collection, logistics, inventory control, and internal communication, all of which affect retail operations and marketing. The CRM and POS are two critical areas in the retail industry through which information needs to be obtained in order to calculate or process things like trends, aspects like customer preferences, aspects like demand of certain products, and so on. So customer relationship management, or CRM, is a prominent marketing system in which companies use point of sale terminals to set up customer accounts and collect data on the relationship history. Front-end service associates perform transactions, and the relationship software database collects and stores the information. Using customer relationship management modules help you leverage your co-customer relationships, which is key to the success of small retailers competing with large chains. So small retailers, basically, they have a kind of a long-term relationship with their loyal customers. With the help of these systems, that feature can be extended. So you can use the customer data, become more familiar with your top customers to offer targeted marketing promotions and to improve your total
customer experience. The next aspect is that of inventory control. Closely related to logistics and distribution is inventory control. Now we've gathered from a few previous slides what inventory is. So it's basically nothing but the kind of stock that is kept by the retailer to suffice the needs of customers. At the store level, MIS technology allows retail associates to more efficiently update pricing and conduct inventory audits. In the past, an employee went around manually to put sticker prices on products. Scanners then evolved to the point that employees could scan the new price for each product. Today, retailers often have electronic scanners which are synced directly to their computers that allow them to simplify, change the store level price on a particular item of stock rather than correct each individual product. This not only speeds things up, but it also makes it easier for employees to compare actual stock to computer inventory data to account for missing items. So there can be a reconciling or a matching done quickly, which can be an automated process rather than manually or cumbersomely doing things. So inventory control is a major element that is being improved or enhanced by the retail management information system. The next important application, as well as the advantage of the MIS in retail business, is the internal communication. In this context, the MIS technology offers several benefits for internal communication. Here you can program your store computers to display daily messages and important memos for all staff members to read. So a lot of important things can happen with the help of the communication that flows through the systems. Now, as we know, the MIS system basically does the function of integrating disparate systems. It encompasses a lot of departments, a lot of sub-departments under it. So information can be sent through this particular system to reach all staff members. The next element is that of cost effectiveness. Information technology has helped to computerize the business process, thus streamlining businesses to make them extremely cost-effective money-making machines. This in turn increases productivity, which ultimately gives rise to profits. That means better pay and less strenuous working conditions. So streamlining businesses has made it possible to actually remove redundant processes, eliminate legacy systems, legacy procedures, automate certain manual processes in order to improve the efficiency of work. The next advantage or application is bridging the cultural gap. So information technology has helped to bridge the cultural gap by helping people from different cultures to communicate with one another and allow for the exchange of views and ideas, thus increasing awareness and reducing certain biases or prejudices. So people actually interact better. For example, let us say people interacting on certain communication modules of an MIS, people communicating pan-India, if they are a part of the Reliance stores or Big Bazaar chain or DMart chain. So a lot of cultural differences are sorted out and eliminated through this particular process. The next advantage of using MIS is the creation of new jobs. Probably the best advantage of management information technology is the creation of new and interesting jobs. Computer programmers, systems analyzers, hardware and software developers, and web designers are just some of the many new employment opportunities created with the help of IT. So there is a vast, you can say, area which is touched upon by IT, and thus new jobs have been created in the market. Now let us take a look at the challenges of using MIS in retail business. The first being that of the organizational change. Now change is one such thing which is resisted or has been resisted by the human beings every time it has been introduced. So MIS and the retail industry is no different. This is typically one of the largest hurdles a business has to contend with when updating their business environment to include new technology. Change is hard or difficult, and the management may find that many employees do not welcome this change. So people are used to working on legacy systems. They are used, or they've become experts on such systems, and they generally resist the notion or idea of change. The next challenge is that of development and cost. A project on a scale, let us say, of several stores or multiple locations. So a project of a magnitude of this size can be extremely costly. So it is critical to do proper analysis, design and testing prior to adding new systems. So many times you have to use a plug-in system to the legacy systems. Many times you have to upgrade the entire, you can say, infrastructure. So it's a very costly affair. A business will want to be sure that the technology will provide long-term benefits and the costs do not outweigh the return on the investment. So this is extremely important, that the costs should never outweigh the investment that is put in. The next challenge is the high initial costs of incorporating information. While the benefits are numerous and the payoff can be excellent, the initial costs of incorporating information systems are very pricey. So people might require certain trainings, people might, the organization might require certain external people. So all these factors contribute to the information systems being costly or pricey. Many businesses find themselves either delaying or avoiding new technology because of the initial investment involved. So they are deterred, or they are frightened or scared of the initial investment. So they actually, they don't look at the benefits or advantages. They just look at the initial costs involved. So this becomes a major hurdle or a challenge. Apart from investing in money, that is a financial investment, these kind of systems also require an investment in terms of time. So additionally, the company will need to determine reliability and accuracy so that the maximum benefits will be derived. This means time will need to be invested in careful system analysis before development to ensure that the information system will meet the requirements of the business process. So this is extremely important. is extremely pertinent, that the time, it should, the project should be in a time bound manner, and the entities who are working on this should be able to dedicate or devote time for this project. The next challenge that exists is that of privacy and security. This is another huge challenge for organizations that use technology. Information, as we all know, today has become an extremely valuable commodity, and there is a large responsibility that comes with maintaining data. As we know, data needs to be secure. Data, if leaked outside, can lead to massive losses for the company whose data leaks out and probable profits for the competitors. So data needs to be handled in a very responsible and a sensitive manner. A lot of sensitive information is collected through the course of business, and this responsibility is one that should be taken very seriously. In this context, when making decisions, privacy should be considered, and any laws regarding privacy and security should be strictly adhered to. In addition, ongoing security is also very essential, and this is an expensive maintenance that bears no incoming revenue. So revenue generation does not happen by securing the systems. It's plainly there to protect whatever data comes in or goes out. So revenue generation, as we know, is done through the sales of products. So this security or privacy has no part to play in generating revenue. Still, it needs to be a part of the system, and the price of maintaining such systems is high, hence it's a big challenge. Unfortunately, many organizations put security on the back burner in favor of other processes such as marketing, accounting, or sales, because these are what impact incoming revenue. However, even one data breach can destroy a business. So these days, security is just as important as other business processes, although, as we said, it's a non-revenue generating process. Security cannot and should not be ignored, and is a significant challenge in using information systems. The global environment that businesses are a part of really has changed the traditional business model, and modern businesses understand that in order to evolve, newer models may either need to be developed or the old ones updated to include information systems. When taking on, you know, a particular project, the company, that is the MIS or the information, retail information business installation project, the organization's decision maker should and do need to be aware of both the benefits and the challenges of using information systems in business. So in this way, we have completed this particular chapter, in which we saw the various applications of management information systems in the retail business. We've seen different places where it's been applied. We've also seen the different factors that influence the decisions. We've also seen the various applications and advantages, as well as the challenges that are present in this particular field. Thank you.